Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of three opinionated guys with mics and too much free time. Strong enough to stop a speeding movie rumor, more powerful than a bad comic book event. Able to waste hours of time asking stupid questions to people who have better things to do. It's Dave, Ben, and John. It's Superhero Speak.
Wouldn't dream of it. Jordy smiled before he hopped into the car and turned the key. I want to know, have you ever seen the rain coming down on a sunny day? John Fogerty singing over the roaring engine, Jordy tore out of the driveway and began the 2-mile drive to school.
I was like, that sounds awfully familiar. Oh. Like, wait a second.
We're having a reading before we begin.
Yes. You're going to read the whole book, John?
Well, I can try. I've only got the first chapter.
I've got some time. How's it going, guys?
Good. Just great. Just, yes. I'm going to completely lie and say that. Yeah.
What seems to be going on, John?
Oh, no. Don't worry about me. I am here and I'm ready for the interview. Even though my tooth feels like it is falling out of my face, I am here, damn it. I am 110% under the influence of drugs. But damn it, I am here.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's all you need, right? So right. You'll be great.
Yes.
And John performs better when he's drugged. So
apparently. Why is that?
Good material, then.
Yes. It's more entertaining for the guests, apparently. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. I'm excited to chat with you guys.
Oh, wow. You're in for a big disappointment, then.
Good. That's fine. I'm comfortable with that.
Dave was always really good at building up their hopes.
Yes.
How are you guys doing? What's going on?
I saw your YouTube intro, and this book is it. The book's out, right?
Yes. It's an ebook, so it's available on pretty much any electronic format. I do not have it in print yet, so. You know, there's that.
I would really like to pick your brain because I am in the middle of writing a book myself, and I've been looking at the Amazon Kindle thing and all the different, things you can sign, lose all your rights. And
Yes, absolutely. You know, I actually just gave, I was a presenter at a conference last week talking about self-publishing.
So, really?
Yeah, I was talking specifically about, have you heard of Smashwords.com?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, Smashwords is a great resource. So, yeah, absolutely. We can chat all day about that if you have any desire to.
Well, we can chat right now. I mean,
it's well, before we get to that, everyone might be wondering what they're listening to.
Good point.
So, everyone, you're listening to Superhero Speak, and I'm your host, Dave.
And John.
And this week, we have a special guest with us. He is an author and a YouTube host and an all-around ladies' man. He is.
Wait, I didn't see that in his bio.
Yeah, no one told me about that either.
Right, so he's the host of Superhero Overload on YouTube, and he has written the book Heir to Olympus. Everyone, welcome Zachary Howe.
Hi, guys.
Well, that's what, you know, I mean, I could tell the way you were flirting with John right away that.
Now, wait a minute.
He just brings the best out of me, I guess.
I sense something there between the two of you.
It's instant connection. It's magical.
I hear the bottle opening.
Okay, that should help with the drugs. Okay, I'm good.
So, let's talk a little bit about the book then.
Sure. And the conference that you what did you do there? You were giving.
Sure. So the conference, and trying not to, you know, get too excited about this, it was the Wisconsin Library Association annual conference. So as you can imagine, pretty wild place, pretty wild crowd. I was speaking about self-publishing, and like I had mentioned about Smashwords.com specifically, because I was the only author there who had used Smashwords.com, which is baffling to me because it is a wonderful resource. But Smashwords, for those who don't know, it's an ebook site where you can publish your ebook, and it sells. It's a retailer and a distributor, so it distributes to almost all of the major retailers. So because my book is uploaded and published on Smashwords, it is available on Barnes & Noble and the Nook. It is available on iBooks. It's available on Kobo, which is the old, what was that place? Borders that closed, but they still have a Kobo reader. Sony readers, a litany of different electronic formats and different retailers that it sells through. So the only one that it doesn't distribute to is Amazon. So basically what I did is I published my book on Amazon, and I published it as an ebook on Amazon, as an ebook on Smashwords, and that pretty much covered all my bases with just those two shots. So for anyone thinking about self-publishing, use Smashwords and Amazon and you're pretty much good to go.
So so you were the only one there from who used Smashwords, so yeah. I imagine that after party must have been wild.
Yeah, I was like a superstar. No, I couldn't believe that no one had, and then people had heard of it, and I'm not sure what it is. I think Smashwords is relatively new. I think it's been around since maybe 2012. CEO was Mark Coker, who was he had tried to publish through the traditional publishing routes, and maybe even succeeded in that, but didn't really like how it worked out. So he and his wife started Smashwords, and the nice thing about Smashwords is that all of their profits come solely from the sales of ebooks. So it's in their best interest to ensure that you sell on their site. So they have a bunch of tools that assist you in that. So it's, that's what I was chatting about essentially.
Cool.
Nice. Yeah.
So, so tell us a little bit about your book then, Heir to Olympus.
Yeah. So the series is called The Heir of Olympus. The first book in the series, which is the one that I have out now, I published it February 1st of this year, is called The Heir of Olympus and the Forest Realm, which is as short as I can make the title, unfortunately. It's a little mouthy, but that's okay. We got there. It sounds a lot like a couple of Rick Riordan series too. So that, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. If someone accidentally buys my book looking for his, I'm not going to be upset.
Right.
Unless they return it, but that's a different story. But the book
literally is a different story.
The series itself, it's a modern adaptation of The 12 Labors of Hercules. So it's about a 16-year-old farm kid in southern Wisconsin who is unaware of the fact that he's a descendant of Hercules until he survives a cataclysmic attack on his hometown that ends up killing his father, which is, he finds out, eventually was orchestrated by Zeus. And Zeus is mad at humanity for forgetting the Olympians, and he's trying to, retake their place atop Olympus and enslave humanity. So Gordy Leonard has to complete 12 trials, thus the adaptation of the 12 Labors of Hercules, has to complete 12 trials associated with each of the Olympic gods in order to attain his full Herculean potential and stop Zeus. And so the first book I won't give too much away, but in the first book he only completes a couple of those, but he finds his mentor Chiron, who you may know from Greek mythology is a legendary centaur who trained Hercules and Achilles and all of the legendary heroes. So it's a romp through ancient Greece essentially, but in modern day.
And you got this idea what, at 5 o'clock in the morning when you woke up? Did you see the flux capacitor before you did this, or
that's bump in the head? Exactly. Martin McFly showed up and he's like, "Oh my god, I got a great idea." And okay, so I mean, as cheesy as it sounds, I actually had a dream that gave me the genesis for the entire story. So I was living in Minneapolis with my then girlfriend, now wife, and I had this very vivid dream where it was panning into a field of a meadow of, golden wheat, and it was panning in from a great distance. And then finally it ended on the image of Zeus looking menacing. And somehow I awoke from that with the idea for the entire series that, there's going to be a 16-year-old kid who's a descendant of Hercules and Zeus is trying to kill him, yada, yada, yada. So I started writing and it was 5 a.m. And actually the first line in the book originally was, "It's 5 a.m., blah, blah, blah." And that's just because I was too tired to really think of anything clever at the time. Fortunately, I took that out of the book. Hopefully that improved it. I don't know. But I'm not entirely sure how that inspiration came upon me, but I'm grateful for it because it was a lot of fun writing the first book.
Perhaps it was Zeus hit you with a lightning bolt while you were sleeping.
Indeed. Yes. that there'll be a movie about the books and then a movie about me being struck by lightning bolt myself to write the books.
Yes, yes.
Although that's reaching, maybe. I might be a little overconfident in that. We'll see. If you guys can make that happen, that'd be great. Thanks.
Okay, all right. Yeah, we'll
work on that.
Yeah, sure.
We're good.
All right. I'll call some people. Yeah, it's no big deal.
Yeah, right. We're easy. We'll agree to anything. So that sounds like, how long did it take you to write this book once you got like the initial idea? I mean, you like took a while to flesh it out. And...
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's sort of a difficult answer or difficult question to answer just because I was in school almost the whole time. So it took me over the course of like 2.5 years, I wrote about 250 pages, and that was the first half of the book. And then when I graduated, I finished the last 200 pages in just 2 months. So I don't know how quickly I could have done it had I not been in school the whole time, but apparently I could knock it out pretty quickly. So over the course of 3 years, I finished the 450-page book, and then I spent like 7 months rereading it every single freaking week and editing it as I went, which is a lot of fun, let me tell you. By the end of that time period, I hated that book more than any book I'd ever read. But I think it was the right thing to do, hopefully. So, yeah. And then right after I finished it and finally put the book out, then I just started on the second one, which was nice to write something new at that point.
Right.
Are you finding it easier now that you have, like, a base story to build on? Or?
You know, it's interesting. I mean, it is, but it sort of comes and goes. So I think when, you know, while I was in school and writing periodically, I think that was sort of a good excuse to take breaks from it. But when I don't really have an excuse to take a break from it, that's when, after a while, you start banging your head against the wall. Like, I mean, the first 130 pages of the second book came pretty easily. And then eventually I was like, oh my God, I've been doing this nonstop for like a year. I don't know what to do anymore. I need to take a break from this. So then it was like one sentence a week where I was just like pulling teeth. Sorry, John, I don't mean to be insensitive. But
no, well played, sir. Well played.
Very terrible pun intended. Thank you. But yeah, so it comes and goes, I guess.
Right. Right. So since you were basing this on, you know, Greek mythology and Hercules and Zeus, did you have to do a lot of research before you started writing, or, you know, was it something that you were well versed in?
Yeah. I mean, it was literally the only topic in school growing up that I ever cared about. which is great. Yeah, it's a good thing to tell the kids, hey kids, stay in school, kind of. I liked Greek mythology in high school, and then I studied it a little bit in college. I studied a little bit of like ancient Roman civilization in general, or Greek and Roman civilization, I should say. And, you know, along with that comes the study of the gods a little bit. And ultimately I got an English degree, which wasn't really related, but, which isn't related to anything. Don't get an English degree. but yes, I had a pretty good basis. And honestly, I don't know if I should even admit this, but God of War, the video game series, is a big help on that front as well, which is a great series for anyone who hasn't played it. I loved it. And, you know, I think that fueled my love of Greek mythology just as much as any class in school ever did. So yeah, that kept it in the forefront of my mind as I was working on it.
All right, so stay in school, play video games, but don't major in English. Is that the lesson here?
Yes, perfect takeaway.
Okay, good.
We have such a good influence.
Yeah, really. And take drugs that are John's on. That's sweet.
You know, don't forget to wash them down with a little bourbon, you know. Yeah. All right. That's pretty good. So how many you've got? I gather you have quite a few, or what you said, 5 books.
Well, yeah, I'm working on a 5-book series. I'm only on the second one right now. But the plan currently is to go 5. I can see a scenario in which it goes 6, but at this point I want to write less than that. So, you know, I was planning on knocking it out in 5. I think I'm still going to do that. We'll see what happens by the end of it though.
So are you going to pull a George R. R. Martin? Are you going to write the first two and then wait years to do the third
that
one?
That man is killing me. I don't know what he's up to, but it's absolutely preposterous that Winds of Winter is not out yet. Oh my God. And you know what? I swear to you, I actually saw that guy today. I didn't actually see him. I saw his doppelganger from Earth 2. I was driving down University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, and he was dressed as George Martin. Like, he had the hat, which I don't know what that type of hat is, but you know exactly which hat I'm talking about.
Yes.
He had the beard, he had the big belly to go along with it, and he just looked like a flawless George R. R. Martin. So maybe the reason why he's not writing is because he's strolling around Madison, Wisconsin. But hopefully I can knock these out in quicker succession than he did. When did the first Game of Thrones, well, Game of Thrones, when did Game of Thrones come out? Wasn't it in like the 90s?
I believe so. Yeah. Actually, was it 89?
Oh my God, was it that long ago?
Are you sure that's not Wheel of Time? are we because Robert, it could be worse. It could be a Robert Jordan too,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, and people, I think, you know, are starting to fear that might potentially go in the same direction.
Well, really, on the bright side, it means he'll still write after he's dead, you know?
Yes. that's a skill that few have, but if anyone can do it.
I don't know. It was a long time ago whenever that book came out.
Yeah, I didn't even know that, and I shouldn't even admit this, but I did not know that Game of Thrones was based on a book or a series of books. I knew the show came out in 2011 or something. So I was like, hey, that's the same name as that show. It's on HBO. That's interesting. Maybe I should read this.
Okay, it was 96. So
96. Wow. Okay. All right.
Wow. God, I gotta stop saying so. Between writing this book and the YouTube channel, mm-hmm. where are you finding time for real life?
Yeah, that's a valid question. You know, like I said, I'm married now, which is nice, but also means I don't have to do so many active things anymore, which is great. So, you know, my wife and I have a very laid back and pleasant life, and so I get to come home and write, and I actually work Tuesday through Saturday, so on Mondays I spend all day at a cafe while she's at work, and I'm working on scripts and writing and whatever and whatnot, and I usually do, you know, weekend mornings I'll do some writing, and after work if necessary, if the mood strikes. So, you know, I sort of mix it in here and there. Then Monday afternoons is when I shoot my YouTube video. I go over to my friend's house. I actually don't even have any of the equipment, which is good. You should always rely on someone else entirely to put out a weekly product. You don't want to have any agency or autonomy in that. You just want to completely be at the whims of someone else. That's the way to do things. That's how you succeed.
That's why I use my daughter.
But, I've been able to put out weekly content. Thus far, I will not complain. He is, however, having a baby in a few months, so that could really put a damper on things. So I better buy my stuff pretty soon here.
Yes. Yeah. At least buy a camera.
Or bouncing a baby up and down as I'm shooting my videos. Maybe. Oh,
that could work.
That could add a new dynamic. I could interview him back and forth. I don't know, something like that.
No, dude, the baby in one hand and a cat in the other. It's perfect YouTube fodder.
It has to work. That's gold.
Yes.
See, and for a second though, I thought you were gonna say, you know, you're married now, but unfortunately that means you're married now. I don't know.
No, God, no. My wife's in the other room, so I would never say that. I love you.
Not where it's being recorded.
Fortunately, very happily married now, and so I have time to do whatever I please. Sort of how that works.
So, I'm not gonna state the obvious connection, but how does one get from Heir of Olympus to Superhero Overload?
Yeah, that's a good question. I was doing weekly videos while promoting my book on Facebook, and I was talking about different characters from Greek mythology regularly. And I am, you know, just proud to be a huge nerd. So I regularly, you know, I watch all the superhero shows on TV. I just finished watching Supergirl before this conversation. Thank you for waiting for that to end before you call. So, you know, I've always loved superhero comic book properties, live adaptations of those. And I eventually ran out of material to talk about Greek mythology characters. So in my weekly shows where I was talking about Greek mythology, I just started talking about superhero properties because, you know, I wanted to, and I didn't think anyone would really care if I stopped talking about Zeus and started talking about Thor, so it worked out. And then I kind of, I don't know, pretty organically got the idea to make it more of a a real thing, because I was just sitting in front of my laptop before taking, you know, video and talking about this stuff. And and my friend offered the lights and the camera and action.
Cool. Well, you know, and this is something we've brought up on the show before too. Comic books are modern myths. So yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, yeah. And that's definitely what is so fascinating about them. Cause it's almost, you know, it's American mythology and it's unfolding before our eyes. And there's so many different iterations of it that, I mean, there's limitless material to sink your teeth into, and it's all phenomenal. So, and I should preface it by saying, I don't actually read comic books because I'm too lazy to do that. I like to sit in front of a TV and let them throw the images at my face and without moving.
Oh, I'm right there with you.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, I certainly don't have anything against comic books. It's just I always found myself when I had attempted to, I would read the blurbs, but I wouldn't look at the pictures. So I would just like I'd flip through a page every like 1.5 seconds. I'd be like, "Pow, flip, zap, pow, you killed my father." Flip, and I wouldn't look at any pictures, and I wouldn't really get what's going on. And I'd finish the comic book and be like, "Wait, what happened? I don't know." So it's just for whatever reason, the medium just I couldn't process it properly, so I decided to just let people show me what happens.
Are you saying that you read comic books for the words, for the article?
For the article.
Right? Yeah, I'm that guy. Well, what can I say? I have an English degree and I'm an author. All it did was break me for comic books, I guess. That's the point of English degrees, to stop you from reading comic books? Maybe. I don't know.
Brilliant.
Yeah. To steal joy from your life, I guess, is what an English degree.
Now, that's funny because, like, and I don't know if any other people do this, but when I read a comic book, I actually flip through it first without reading any of the words, just looking at the images.
Okay.
Then I go back and read the words.
That's a good approach. That's something that I should try to implement and see if that helps me understand what's going on a little bit better.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's a part because I love the art and I'm trying to sink it in and also, I'm always curious, how much of the story can you get without looking at the words? You know, are the visual storytellers doing their job? You know?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yes. So, but no, I totally understand. I mean, we're in a great era to be a nerd. I mean, TV, movies, Netflix, you know, radio dramas next, I'm sure.
Yeah, that'll be new.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the reasons I like Agent Carter, because they have the radio drama Captain America thing going on in the background.
Oh God, that's hysterical. Here's a question for you. Going back to the YouTube thing, who the heck is the guy that you keep having to yell at in the background?
You mean Chauncey?
Yeah.
Chauncey is the director who apparently likes to, you know, make it difficult on me from time to time. he almost made it on screen in one of the videos.
Almost.
But we can't let that happen because he's Chauncey. He needs to stay behind the camera and do his damn job. So yeah, Chauncey is an interesting guy. Glad to have him around. He spices things up a little bit.
You. For those of us, for those of you listening, just go to the YouTube channel and just it's funny, to say the least. It's a little air of the Daily Show in it, and I think it's good.
Huh? You broke up a little bit.
Oh, am I here? Am I back?
I can capture some of that. Are you? Was that your drugs or was that just your computer?
Probably a little bit of both.
It was like it was super slow and gated.
Well, you know, sometimes I like to just slow things down.
Yeah. I caught Daily Show in there somewhere, and I was flabbergasted and flattered. I know you weren't saying that I was coming anywhere near that, but I will take even a slight comparison to it. Thank you very much. I miss Jon Stewart, by the way.
No, Jon Stewart used to. Oh, so do we. But he did that thing where, you know, they'd show the name of the segment underneath, and once in a while it would be something really, really bad, and he'd sit there and go, "Guys, I thought we talked about this before we put this on with the heck."
That's kind of what we're going for there. But you know, Chauncey's doing his best. He's trying to help out. Sometimes he just doesn't make the cut.
I believe John said before we called you that he thought you were John Stewart's love child. I don't know what to make of that.
Who with the what now?
That would be a great honor, and I will reach out to him and see if maybe he just takes the bait.
There you
John,
go.
I hear you're signed with HBO. I'll get your coffee for a little while, and we can be best of friends. Yeah, no, we were raised in the same faith. My mom's from New York, so you know it's possible. It's possible. I'm not going to say I'm not. Basically,
anyone who started out on MTV and going to those wild parties, anything's possible.
Exactly.
So actually, you know, it's funny, and not to get into this too much. Because we're going to have a whole episode coming up about on this subject. But you mentioned Supergirl.
Yes.
go ahead.
Uh-oh. Did John not watch tonight?
That was just a visual reaction. I'm okay.
So, just in general, I mean, what do you think of all the current superhero shows? Like, and what I'm getting at is I really liked the premiere. The second episode was tonight's episode was a little bit better because there was a lot more character building. But I kind of feel they have quickly fallen into the same traps as Arrow and Flash, where there's a team behind her helping her do everything. She can't be Supergirl on her own. Oh, God forbid that.
Right.
And,
well, you have to have your Scoobies. You know, ever since Buffy, that's like, it's the staple of any good hero.
And, yep. And then they're throwing in the love triangles and it's like,
no, I do agree with you. I've had mixed feelings about it. I think I kind of do like to an extent that she hasn't just jumped in and is kicking everyone's ass right off the bat. Now, the level of support she needs is a little heavy-handed, as you've said. And first of all, Melissa Benoist. Is that how you pronounce it? Is it Benoist or Benoist? It's Benoist, right?
It's Benoist, I believe, yes. Benoist.
Yes.
I think she's fantastic. She is doing a wonderful job. I don't think they found anyone else to act on the show because the others, they have their moments, but for the most part, everyone seems to be a little melodramatic, a little off. But she definitely carries the show, and I do like how they're trying to differentiate her from Superman. I like how they're trying to make her her own person. But yeah, it's a valid point that, you know, it seems that in that effort, it's requiring a lot of other manpower and more than just her own to be able to differentiate herself. So yeah, I guess I do have mixed feelings about it. I appreciate it for what it is thus far, and I don't think it's bad by any stretch of the imagination. I'm kind of baffled sometimes how good the special effects are, and then at other times how terrible the special effects are. Like, it's been inconsistent, and I'm not quite sure why, but that's TV superheroism, so what can you do on that front? But yeah, in terms of the actual content, I think, like you said, first episode great, second episode third episode better. So we'll go from there. I mean, when they had super well, oh, why shouldn't I talk about what happened tonight? Never mind. With tonight,
you can say whatever you want.
This won't This won't be airing for a while, right?
It'll be Wednesday, so people have seen it by then.
This is previously recorded.
And have you both watched it?
I was watching it. Yes.
Okay, you guys watched. No,
I didn't. Go ahead.
No, John, I'm curious. What do you think of the show?
What do I think? Okay, first off, I think, I'm actually in the middle of writing an entry for our website for this review. But so Benoist is good. I think the guy who plays James Olsen has also got some acting chops. He kind of comes off fairly cool about the acting. He doesn't act without acting like he's acting. Mm-hmm. Calista Flockhart she's good. You know, she's acting her part, and I like her character. I think that the writers need to be given some Valium and to calm down. Because,
oh my God, I totally agree with that part of it. Yes, continue.
Yeah, they're just, and this is part of what I'm writing about. They shoved so much into that first episode that they could have used to fill out the entire season.
The first two episodes were much more frenetic than this most recent one was. So I totally agree with that point.
But they didn't need to. I mean, some of the reveals that they had in the first episode could have been like season finale stuff or mid-season or sweeps or whatever. Just stuff to keep people interested and keep the plot moving instead of, here's everything. Watch our show.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, they're backing themselves into a corner, but who knows what they have up their sleeves. But yeah, you're right. There certainly has been a whole lot out there already.
But the back to your point, I know what you were going to get at Zach with the scene with Superman,
Yes,
in it where you don't see him, and it was the same crappy CGI that we got in the Smallville finale. And it was, and it's like, come on, it's been 6 5 6 years since that was on. Let's ramp up the effects a little bit.
No, yeah, I mean, and like I said, I mean, like, I don't know, maybe you guys disagree, but there are times in the show Supergirl when the effects really are fantastic, and then there are times like that scene and a couple others when it's just horrendous and hard to look at, cringeworthy, I would say. But yeah, I mean, I'd read a little preview and known that scene was coming, and I feared at the time that it was going to be a simple, Deus Ex Machina come to save the day because he can type of thing. But at least it had somewhat of a point. I mean, it was all sort of driven by the cheesy romantic interest of Jimmy Olsen. So, but I like that she's still trying to differentiate herself and trying to be her own person, and that it's not just a, yay, I'm going to try to fight, but then when it's problematic, we'll have Superman show up.
Right. And then the other person that we haven't really talked about, David Harwood, he plays Hank Henshaw on the show.
Yeah.
And you don't read the comics, so you don't know who Hank Henshaw is in the comic books.
No, I don't. Oh, it's so shameful. I'm sorry. All right, fill me in.
He's technically a bad guy.
Yes, he's
his glowy red eyes that he's big.
Okay, well, so everyone something. Knows that they killed Superman in the early 90s, was it? Late 80s, early 90s? When was it they killed Superman?
Early 90s.
Early 90s.
It was like 91, 92.
All right, right. It was 91. And then they had, for a while, they had four replacement Supermen. And one of them was a clone that was younger, which was ended up becoming Superboy. Mm-hmm. One Steel. Was Steel, which mm-hmm. we got the Shaq movie back in the 90s. Thank God someone made that movie.
Yes.
One was another alien that looks like Superman called the Eradicator. And the other was a cyborg known as Cyborg Superman, who remained a villain for a long time in the comics, but he was Hank Henshaw, was who he was before he became Cyborg Superman. And like, they're not, that's the whole thing with his character is they're not burying the lead with him. Like,
yeah,
they're showing he's got glowing red eyes. There's already, there's something off about him, and he acts that way. Like, like, I'm helping you, but am I really helping you or leading you?
Yep.
Kind of like in Flash last season with our good friend. Oh,
yes, Dr. Nefario, Harrison Wells.
Harrison Wells, yes.
Yeah, my wife and I started calling him Dr. Nefario from the first episode because he was just so over the top, nefarious, as it were.
Right, exactly. That's... and it's just like, oh.
He's literally Dr. Evil. It's like, yes, right. I will help you.
Yeah. We just need him to put his pinky up to his lip, and it's complete. And then we're good to go.
I mean, it feels like they took some of the formula from Flash and dumped it into Supergirl. And it's like, okay.
Well,
I understand.
It's the same, not director, producer?
Same showrunner.
Yeah.
Same showrunner. Yeah.
Yeah. And didn't he write, was it, I don't know if it was the whole season or at least the pilot episode.
I know he at least wrote the pilot, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he better do better because from what I've read, he's got it in the contract that there will be, or can be at least, a crossover between The Flash, Arrow, and Supergirl, even though they're on different networks.
It is in the contract. It's for season two. There will be a crossover.
Interesting. Well, okay.
Yeah, I mean, they could have done it this. They could have done it this season, but because they're introducing the other, was it the other group of heroes on Arrow?
Right.
They didn't want to do that and the Supergirl crossover.
Right. Legends of Tomorrow. Yeah, Arrow this season has been a little trying at times. I don't know. It's felt like a little bit of, you know, I don't know. It's had its moments, but I don't know. Maybe you guys feel differently about it, but I don't think it's nearly has been as good as the first three seasons.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I guess mainly it's the Sarah storyline that's been bothering me. I did like seeing Constantine in there. That was cool. I just kind of wish that they had Constantine in there right away instead of dealing with Lazarus Pit and Gorilla Sarah who runs around strangling people.
Right.
Yeah, he did kind of walk and go, "Hi, I'm Constantine. You're fixed. Bye.
Yeah.
By the way, that dark guy, ooh, bad things."
No, and I agree. It's I mean, one thing I found interesting this season is, you know, they spent at least the first season and this is the fourth season, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they spent at least the first two seasons kind of staying away from superpowers, from anything mystical, anything, you know, magical. And then Flash hit and they went, yeah, nope, here's superpowers. Yeah, it's all comic book stuff. It's all great. And the show, like, that show took off. So they're like, okay, let's catch up, you know.
And then Lazarus Pit. Then they look sideways at Marvel and said, hey, look, we've got magic. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, they did go all in on that all of a sudden, which I don't really mind. I just, you're right. I mean, it was just, pow, here it is, mysticism. It's all here. But
Right. And so it kind of changed the tone of the show, I think.
Yeah.
You know? And then you've got good guys becoming bad guys, kind of.
Love the framing of Arrow, how, you know, we go back. We have flashbacks, you know, and take us back, you know, year by year to see what happened leading up to it. I wonder when we get through, I guess there'll be another season full of flashbacks, right? Because this will be, because he was gone for 5 years. So
right.
after the fifth season, what are they going to do then? Now they just have to tell one linear story. Is that going to...
Summer school on the island?
Well, I always find it convenient how... Whatever is going on in his life right now in Central City, the flashback 5 years ago that you know,
yes, the exact 5 years ago,
helps him think about what's going on now or is related somehow.
You know, it's funny. This is the 5th year anniversary of when I ran into Constantine, and you're right. That's true. I do. It's always pretty convenient. That's true.
I mean, that's my issue with the flashback part of the show. Like, I understand why they did it in the beginning, and it was a vehicle for telling the story, but to make it a consecutive story as the backup story to what's going on in present time, it's too much of a MacGuffin and too convenient all the time, and it's just like...
It was, but I will give the rare pass on this one because it was probably driven by the fact that they... canceled the Constantine show, and they wanted him to get him into here at least to continue a little bit of the story, and they didn't have much time to fit him in, like to put him in like the first episode so they could show him on the 7th, you know, in the regular timeline, you know. There was no way to gracefully introduce him. They just had to MacGuffin him. And
well, no, yeah, but not just that, but I mean just the
in general,
it's just in general. You know, I mean, we met and dealt with Deathstroke.
Oh, yeah. True.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
No more stories of him on the island because he's not around anymore. So, you know.
No, they still have to explain the mask that was hanging there when he got off the island. So we may see Deathstroke again.
That is true. That is true.
Yeah, he'll be around. He's with his bed, presumably, or something.
Yes. But and then of course you're gonna, you know, we can turn the dial to ABC and SHIELD you know, in season 3, and everyone complained it wasn't a superhero show for the first 2 years. Now I feel like they're trying to go full blown superhero show, at least, or not full blown yet, but like really set it up to be that way. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, I wanted it to be a spy show, but apparently, that's not what the fans wanted.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. I mean, I watch S.H.I.E.L.D. now. I didn't watch it for the first full season because I don't know why. I watched the pilot and didn't like it, but then I caught up on Netflix. And you're right. I think the earlier stuff where there isn't any superheroics or superpowers going on does have a little more to it, but I think it is a natural progression at least, and I like that they're starting to I don't know how the MCU is going to explain it away when they don't have the Inhumans coming out until, what, 2019 now, pushed back that far?
Oh, so, yeah.
I at some point, something's got to give on those two fronts, and maybe Netflix will be the, for lack of a better term, lube that brings them all together. That's,
thank you for that.
Worst possible term. I don't know what I mean by that. There are so many other terms that I should have used in that moment, and I'm deeply sorry to everyone involved. But anyways, I don't know. I personally, I don't mind the superpowers being introduced, and because I feel like it was done, well, I was going to say gradually, but I guess we were thrown into a bunch of Inhumans all at once. Although I'm so obsessed right now with Lash being Andrew that
that was good.
In processing. I don't know about you guys. I was absolutely baffled. I didn't see it coming. I had no idea.
No. That was out of the freaking left field. That, oh God, that is why Marvel is still kicking DC's ass. Damn it. You know?
I mean,
look at the difference between that kind of writing and the writing on the first few episodes of Supergirl. Yeah. Come on. That was good.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I don't think anyone saw that coming. And, that's the thing, too. I mean, when you're dealing with a property like the Inhumans, which, let's be honest, not a lot of people read it. Mm-hmm. They can get away with like, all right, we're going to make May's ex-husband Lash. No one's going to see this coming.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the first question I have, and I was talking with a coworker about this the other day, like, was he always Lash?
Right. That was what I was thinking initially too. And you kind of have to assume, maybe you don't have to assume yes. I don't know. I've been toying with that one for a while myself. Yeah. I couldn't figure that out.
Right, right. And then, you know, his theory, my coworker's theory, was that Lash has a shape-shifting ability and actually just took the doctor's form.
Yeah.
Like, the doctor did actually die in that convenience store. So,
I kind of think because May and him, didn't they give it a shot between seasons where they fly together? I think somewhere after their actual marriage, he ceased to be Andrew, because I think when they were really married that he really was a psychiatrist that doubt he was Lash this whole time. And that between then and Hawaii, when they got back together, that he had been taken over by Lash or whatever may have happened there, that Lash is now Andrew. But yeah, I can't imagine it was the whole time.
See, this is why you should not go to Hawaii. Oh, wait.
Yeah, nowhere near Tahiti, yes.
Well, that's true. Yes, yes.
I just got married in Hawaii 2 months ago. Come on, you're killing me. And the Waikiki Beach flooded, their sewers overflowed and flooded with feces and all kinds of things the day after we left. So you're right. Maybe.
Nice.
That probably would have dampened the honeymoon. I got to be honest.
So,
a whole lot can ruin a honeymoon, but a whole bunch of poop on the beach, that'll do it.
Oh, God.
So are you saying that you turn into a giant blue alien with long black hair and you can rip with the dreads, heart out of people?
Yeah. If I had touched live sewage, I don't know, maybe.
Oh, okay.
I could do it. Who knows?
Well, then again, you could have gone the Taxi Avenger route, too, so probably not.
There it is. There it is. All kinds of things.
Speaking of the rest of these, on your YouTube channel, you did a review of, I see a Jessica Jones image there. What are you thinking about that?
I actually have a Jessica Jones preview coming up this week. So I shot it yesterday, and it'll be coming up Wednesday. I'm very excited. I love Daredevil, and I think, you know, they'll keep that tone, obviously. And the thing that makes Jessica Jones all the more exciting is that there's many more themes with much more depth to them. I mean, the fact that she's a woman who was well, I don't entirely sure what, know what direction they're going to go with the Purple Man and her backstory with him. I would think they already have their connection and that he has manipulated her in the past. And so there's a whole bunch of underlying tones of control there that are all kinds of deep, dark, and scary that will be pretty fascinating to see play out. And I would imagine quite disturbing at times. So I'm just really jazzed for Jessica Jones. I sort of did some research on her to get caught up on her character. When they announced it, and I think she's an interesting character, and I'm excited to see how it plays out.
Yeah, there's going to be a little bit of Stockholm syndrome there, and a lot of it's going to be a lot more adult themed, I think.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, it's going to be intense. But I'm glad that we have so many different fronts and we can present these different properties in so many different ways to so many different groups. And yeah, it's nice that Netflix allows us to have one that is a little more adult theme, a little darker and, you know, scarier. And we'll see how that goes. But I'd imagine it'll be as phenomenal as Daredevil was.
Right. And I saw your bold predictions video.
So after I shot that, oh, no. Kind of felt like two of the three were wrong. off to a good start there. First of all, Caitlin Snow, I was like, there's a line in the episode. I shot it on Monday night and then I released it Wednesday, but The Flash had then aired on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And Caitlin Snow, there was a line in the episode when she was talking about Cisco getting his powers, saying that just because we got these powers doesn't mean we're, you know, just because Harrison Wells helped us, you know, find these powers, whatever, doesn't mean we're going to be, you know, evil now. But of course, that seems like foreshadowing to freaking Killer Frost. So I don't know. I just can't even fathom a route in which Caitlin Snow, who's already lost her husband or fiance twice, is really going to lose it enough to go bonkers and turn into a bad guy. So,
well, you know. Think about it this way, though. Wells had his little watch that detected metahumans. Mm-hmm. And he put it up to Caitlin and didn't go off.
Yeah, it was a little.
So I was right. Boom! Nailed it. One down. I got the other two wrong, probably.
she's not going to be Killer Frost, or she's not Killer Frost yet, or.
Well, I mean, presumably she's not going to be, right?
Right.
I would think it'd be a different Earth, Caitlin.
Right. Like Earth 2 or 3, or. They have 52 Earths they can choose from.
Right. They've got one in there.
Well, not all 52 anymore, right? I mean, they got rid of a few, didn't they?
No, they haven't shown them closing up any of them yet.
No, I mean, it was a new 52 when they got rid of
52. Oh, in the talk about the comics, but yeah, no, but you know, that when they reestablished the multiverse, they did, it's 52 in the comic books and then there were 52 portals. So I think that's what they were hitting at, is that there's at least 52 parallel universes they can play with, and they've only played with Earth 2 so far.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think, well, I mean, you guys know, I'm sure, that they're just limiting it to the new 52. They're not going to go for the Infinite Earths and then, like, Infinite Crisis. What is it when they all combine? Is that Infinite Crisis when the 52 Earths are one, or is that...
No, it's called the Pocketbook Crisis. It's because, you know...
Which speaks to why maybe I'm not so much a reader of the comic books.
yeah, I agree.
I just recently came off my ramen noodle diet, so, you know.
What, another crossover? Damn it. I need to go pick up some more. Oh, yeah.
Pick up some more noodles and then head to the comic book shop.
Just white rice and soup, you know.
Yeah. Pick up some bullion. This week.
What was I gonna say? The one prediction that you made, you had talked about Iron Fist, and
Doctor Strange,
which is you know, you're definitely on the right track, because Doctor Strange was the leader of the Defenders in the comic books. Mm-hmm. So I do think they would do great to connect them somehow.
Yeah, and you know, and I'm a little baffled by the whole Iron Fist being. I just say Iron Fist. It's a far less intimidating character, Iron Fist.
Right next to Squirrel.
That Iron Fist is being pushed back indefinitely, and and, you know, the Punisher taking his place. I mean, I understand it to a degree because it's going to be a lot harder to fit Iron Fist's story into the gritty world they've made with Daredevil and what will continue presumably through Jessica Jones and Luke Cage. But I still think that he's going to show up eventually, and that I hope I'm right, that maybe there will be some allusion to him in Doctor Strange, which I'm so excited for.
Well, one of the latest rumors was that they were going to change Iron Fist from a series into a Netflix movie.
Yeah, that one I don't get at all. If you can shine a light onto why that's somehow a better idea.
I don't know if that's, but here's the thing. I've been wondering, is that true? Or is that someone got bits and pieces and maybe it was the actor got a movie contract to appear in Doctor Strange.
That is an interesting point, which would make my bold prediction come true.
Yes.
Yeah. And that would make more sense. Honestly, I don't know why they would do, what would be the point of a Netflix movie? I mean, if they're going to do that, then that defeats the purpose of the medium. They should just do either a series or introduce him in the MCU. Right. There's going to be a crossover. I mean, Defenders, I think, as I've said on my show, that Defenders, some of them or all of them are going to show up in the Infinity War in the MCU. Although, as I say that right now, I'm realizing that's a whole lot of people to have on screen.
Right. But they can always... Hello?
Yeah.
You guys broke up for a second. Uh-oh. Hold on.
Okay, I got you. Can you...
What?
This is speak where difficulty means stay.
Okay. I hear John now.
That's because I'm wisecracking.
Oh. Can you hear? Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So,
difficult.
Why either just do a Iron Fist movie or do a show? It doesn't make sense to do a Netflix show.
Yeah.
Other than there seems to be a little bit of craziness going behind the scenes over at Marvel and Disney right now because of Marvel's movies being taken over by Disney and
the reorg,
but they claim that it's not going to affect any of the projects. You know, all their plans still stay in place. Feige is still the overseer of everything. So,
well, and then Perlmutter was pushed to the TV side, right? So maybe, I mean, I don't know. Feige is now pulling all the strings, it seems. So presumably he seems, and maybe I'm wrong or naive, he seems to want to put the stories first.
Right.
And again, yeah, that could be naivete, but yeah, I mean, it seems like he really wants to create all the stories that he seems to be a fan of and wants to see. And so presumably an interwoven format would be the way to go to really see. I mean, that could be a whole new phase in, or, you know, a whole new era of these universes that we're getting into. So I don't know. I don't see why not.
Right. And then why not also tie in the Netflix to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Why can't Iron Fist or Daredevil show up on an episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that the tones are so drastically different. Which one would take which, you know what I mean? I can't even imagine Matt Murdock being in the jet with those guys. There'd just be too much somberness to really... I don't know. There's got to be some way to make it coherent, I'm sure. But yeah, it would make sense if they could all coexist.
Right. I mean, I guess it all depends on where it's airing. If it's airing on Netflix, it's got to be the gritty.
I'd love to see Clark Gregg on Netflix trying to be, you know, serious. We'll see if we can pull that off. Get a little gritty, Clark.
Yes.
I think it could work, though. I think that the way they've got the tone set in the Marvel Universe, in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and such, can lend itself to seriousness when it needs to. Yeah. Unlike what DC does, where it's all just happy-go-lucky and, you know, there's it MacGuffin-y and...
Right. Well, to the side of things, I mean, the DCEU is obviously thus far drastically different.
Well, yeah. That, yeah. Well, you know, got to have balance, I guess.
Yes. One can have better TV shows, the other has better movies.
Yes, yeah. And no jokes, apparently.
Yeah. But I mean, I shouldn't make fun of them too much, because I am one of the few, maybe, who loved Man of Steel. I thought it had a couple flaws, but not nearly as many as the masses seemed to find. But Superman was my everything growing up, too. So, you know, obviously I was a little biased. I don't know.
Just a little?
Just a tiny little bit, I guess.
All right.
I'm not going to say anything. I'm very sad now.
What about Batman vs. Superman? Are you guys excited for Batman vs. Superman?
Well, after seeing the honest trailer, maybe, but for not the honest trailer, the How It Should Have Ended, the Heishi guys.
Define excited. Oh, wait.
So cautiously optimistic. Not even that. Just cautious.
Cautiously optimistic. Go ahead. What are you going to say, Dave?
Well, it's like, you know, it's one of those things where they started hyping this movie 2 years ago.
Right.
And it still doesn't even come out till next year.
Mm-hmm.
They probably didn't even finish the script.
So it cannot live up to the hype that they've built up for it. It can't. There's no possible way. It is not episode 7, you know?
Right.
You know, it like, because one person was like, they're making a big deal because it's like, oh, it's Batman and Superman fighting on screen together for the first time and they're fighting. Well, no. First off, they've been on screen before in the cartoons. But second off, we've already gotten superheroes fighting in the Avengers. Mm-hmm. You know, we had Thor and Captain America going at it in Iron Man. So it's like that's not a selling point anymore. You know, it's got to be a really decent story that dovetails well into Man of Steel. And I mean, we'll see, you know.
It has to, because otherwise it's Bambi versus Godzilla. You know, right. Superman just flies into orbit and then nukes Batman wherever he is with his laser vision, and that's it.
Right. I don't think that the Batman versus Superman aspect of it, I don't think that will really be the headline in the actual movie itself. I mean, sure, that's going to be a part of it. And I do like that the destruction of Metropolis and Bruce Wayne being there and, you know, him being angry and whatnot. I do like the way that sets up. But ultimately, we know that it's going to be Lex Luthor pulling the strings and orchestrating the whole thing and getting them to fight one another. And that's not going to be the crux of the problem. It's going to be, I don't know what's going on with General Zod's body. I have some guesses, but I don't know what's going on with, you know, Aquaman being apparently a prisoner. So, you know, there's, I think Batman versus Superman, that'll probably be done by the second act. And then the third act will give us more, I guess. Really, I'm more excited for what it sets up. And that's the DCEU in general.
Right. Right. No. And that's true. You know, I guess, I definitely have higher hopes for it than Suicide Squad. I'm sorry. That looks like a hot mess right now to me.
Oh, I'm totally with you on that. 100%. Yes, I agree.
But you know, I guess one of my biggest concerns is you're going to bring Batman in and you're creating a Batman with a very extensive history. It's not just like, oh, Batman's been around for a few years and he's now going after Superman. It's like, no, we've had apparently the, you know, from the previews, Jason Todd has come and gone and been killed, you know, and he apparently has given up being Batman at some point, and he's coming back, and it's just like, what's going on, and how are they going to tell that story, plus dovetail it into Man of Steel, plus bring Lex Luthor in, plus whatever.
Well, I think they'll do, which I think they'll give, you know, the fans a little bit more credit this time, because, I mean, everyone knows Batman, everyone knows the story, and we're going to, I think they're going to allow us to accept the fact that there is a whole lot of history that we're going to have to pick up through the films, or through our own knowledge, maybe. But I kind of like that element of it.
All right.
I'm naive. We've already covered this. I'm optimistic and naive.
Well, all right. We'll give you that. Yes. But of course, before that, we've got episode 7, which I know everyone listening and in this conversation is looking forward to. So, So yes, that'll be
episode 7. Have you guys gotten your tickets yet?
John has.
Oh yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't get the midnight showing, but I got the Thursday night 3D. I managed to get 6 tickets before everything sold out. I think everything sold out for the first 2 weeks already.
Have you pawned off the other 5 yet?
Oh. Well, you see, first off, I have to gouge my co-hosts, and then once that's done, then I sell the extras in front of the theater, which From what I heard, they're people are already asking for like $200 a ticket.
I'm surprised it's that low, frankly.
Yeah, it's still early.
Closer to the date, obviously, it will skyrocket.
Yeah. Crazy. Yes. Did you get yours?
I did not. I don't, you know, I haven't even checked the box office here in Madison, Wisconsin. I was kind of just laboring under the assumption that because I'm in a smaller market that it wouldn't be as much of an issue, but I should probably get on that sooner than later. I generally like to see movies the day of the release. I have already resigned myself to the fact that I will not be able to see Star Wars on that date, but I'm hoping that it won't be too long of a wait.
Well, so, it's Wisconsin. There's like a big Nerf herder contingent out there, right?
yeah, I guess so. It gets us through the winters.
Nerf herder contingent. I like that.
Well, you know, you got to know your market, right?
Well, you know what? On that note, Nerf herder contingent. Where can people find you online?
Yes.
A number of places. I try to plaster myself all over it. Because I don't know, I'm needy. I need validation.
Yes.
You can find me on Facebook first, facebook.com/Heir of Olympus, or you can just search Zachary Howe on Facebook and you'll find my author picture that looks professional, but it was taken by my wife. Woo! You can find me on facebook.com/superherooverload. You can cut out the middleman and just go to heirofolympus.com or to superherooverload.com, and the latter will reroute you to the YouTube channel, which everyone should subscribe to because it's phenomenal, or at least adequate and moderately entertaining. And
it's then, very adequate, yes.
It is the most adequate thing I've ever done, and I'm proud to say that. And then, just wrong. Yeah, I'll give you all my updates on Twitter, too, at Zach E. Howe, Zacke Howe. I spell my name Zachary with an H, and I spell my shortened name Zach with a K, because I just don't want anyone to be able to find me, apparently, and I don't want to sell any books or get any subscribers. So I'm making it as difficult as possible for the masses.
All right, remember that, everyone.
that's the route I've chosen to go. I wanted to make it challenging for myself to succeed.
So stay in school. Don't major in English.
Take John's drugs.
No, and
don't look for Zach, because apparently he doesn't want you to find him.
It's going to be hard. I'm just telling you. It's going to be difficult to find him.
Well, we'll have links in the description. People will find you that way.
You got me. I guess. I'll let it happen. Thank you for that.
And, you know, so you were a big Superman fan, you know, growing up, right?
I was, yeah. I mean, the first foray I had into DC or Marvel was a Superman movie that I had on VHS that I watched until the tape, you know, unraveled as they did back in those days so infuriatingly. So, yeah, I mean, Superman was my go-to from the earliest age, and that's why I've always been, and that's why when Man of Steel came out, I was just jazzed out of my mind, and I'm still excited for Batman vs. Superman.
So when you were a little guy, did you wear a cape and run around the house in the cape?
That's a good question. And I was shot in slow-mo in the background in the backyard where, you know, my mom thought I could possibly be. No, I don't know that I ever dressed up. I must have at some point, right? I mean, apparently yes. I blacked most of my childhood. But in there somewhere, I'm sure I had to be. I'll chat with my mom, see if she's got any pictures of that running around in a cape or something along those lines. I vividly remember being a pirate for one Halloween as a cool kid. But I don't think Superman double us as a pirate.
Superman pirate. Yeah.
Well, what it could be is that, you know, your cape got caught in a door and you hit your head and you can't remember.
Dave's like, really going... Dave's really going the long way around for our...
Boys and girls, don't you get your cape caught in the door. Until next time, have a good week.
Okay, now it's my turn. Okay, what are you doing? Taking over Dad's mic so I can be part of superhero speak. Duh. Well, there are better ways to join the conversation. Really? Like what? Well, you can interact with them on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and even Pinterest. Wait, people use Pinterest? And what's Google+? I don't know, something to do with circles. Anyway, you can also see all their posts, including comic book videos, on their website, where you can also sign up for their mailing list. Cool! Yep, are you still going to try to hijack Dad's mic?
Nope, I'm going to try to answer the Stump the Geek question.
Nice. So who do you think would win in a fight between Rainbow Dash and Squirrel Girl?
That's a hard one. Oh no, Dad's waking up. Run for your lives!
Oh, what are you guys doing? That cape's going to get caught in the door.
Ow.